Blog Talk Radio.
Red Brick Town Radio Podcast, keeping you up to date on the ins, outs, and everything happening in Alexandria, Virginia, with your host, Lee Hernley.
There said, my name is Lee Hernley, and welcome to this episode of the Red Brick Town Radio Podcast. Thank you. Alyssa does a really great job on podcast intros and outros and voiceovers. You can find her at intromachine.com. That's intromachine.com. And any other kind of sounds you hear, you can get at freesound.org. That's freesound.org. Tonight, on this episode of the Red Brick Town Radio Podcast, we are broadcasting live from the Inner Harbor at Baltimore, Maryland. I'm up for tonight. And I got to tell you, from the amount of traffic I encountered coming into Baltimore, the traffic up here, I mean, D.C. doesn't have anything on the traffic up here in Baltimore. I mean, it was just unbelievable traffic. Tonight, we will be talking the latest developments during election 2015 in Alexandria, Virginia. We'll also talk about Mayor Yule's campaign and the race for mayor, as well as we'll talk some Washington Redskins who are playing tonight, all during this 45-minute podcast. We ran a little long last week at 90 minutes as we talked to Councilman John Chapman, and we also had some exclusive audio from Vice Mayor Silverberg's kickoff campaign, and we had an exclusive audio of her speech on that kickoff, which you can hear on the podcast. You go to redbricktown.com and look for, so you can search podcast, or you can look in the right side of the screen. There's a little widget there, and there's a link right to the podcast page. You can join the chat at the Blog Talk Radio link, or you can leave us a comment on our Facebook page. You can tweet me at Red Brick Town, or send an email with any comments tonight. My email address is Lee, that's L-E-E, at redbricktown.us. That's Lee at redbricktown.us. Being that this is a live podcast tonight, you can call into the podcast anytime in the next 45 minutes at 347-838-8513. That's 347-838-8513. Just let me know what your name is and where you're calling from when we connect you. Because our portable studio here does not have caller ID. So, talking about the podcast, we have all the podcasts archived on our podcast page. As I said before, you can go to redbricktown.com and search podcast, or look on the right side of the screen and make sure that you subscribe in iTunes. There's a link right there for you to do it, or you can go on to our podcast page at blogtalkradio.com/redbricktown and subscribe there as well. We are also testing out a podcast host at Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com. It's very highly rated, so we are testing out the ability to do a live podcast from there. So then we might be changing that. But Blog Talk Radio has added the Motley Fool's podcast to its lineup. The Motley Fool is an Alexandria, Virginia company founded in 1993, and they are located in the Carlisle area of Alexandria. They were founded in 1993 by brothers David and Tom Gardner. And the Motley Fool, if you don't know it, is a financial services company dedicated to helping the world invest better. Every month, millions of savvy investors rely on the Motley Fool's expertise and guidance through Fool.com, Motley Fool book series, newspaper columns, subscription investment advisory services, podcasts, and media appearances. They have several podcasts online as well. You can go, search for Motley Fool Money. There's also Market Foolery, Industry Focus, Motley Fool Answers, where they answer your questions about saving, spending, planning for retirement. You've got money questions, and their personal finance experts have answers. And there's last but not least, there's Rule Breaker Investing. So you can find the Motley Fool podcast at blogtalkradio.com. Speaking of podcasts, we recently updated our app, which you can find at redbricktown.com. You can just click on one of the banners, and you can download it, or it's available through our Facebook page at facebook.com/redbricktown. And what we added recently was the ability to listen to the podcast. You can do that right from the feeds tab, and just click on the feeds tab, and then click on podcast, and click on the link in the feed, and it'll take you right to the podcast episode. This is episode 6 today. Hopefully, we'll be talking to Glenn Kloss, who has a Twitter handle called WriteIn_Yule, about the Bill Yule campaign, and we have the latest developments there to talk about. Also big this week, I haven't been posting as much recently as I normally do, as I've been helping out with some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that was going on with Pope Francis. If you hadn't seen it yet, Pope Francis's message to a joint meeting of Congress, I had mistakenly posted. It was a joint session of Congress, and I was one of our Twitter followers pointed that out to me, and I know it was a joint meeting. I don't know why I posted joint session, but the difference between a joint meeting and joint session is that the purpose of a joint meeting has usually been for Congress to hear an address from an important figure, generally a visiting foreign leader. This practice became a standard part of foreign leaders' state visits to the United States after 1945. In the early Congresses, a joint session or a House reception was often used for the address. There are two known instances of unofficial addresses by foreign leaders to the House and Senate in the House chamber. This is referred to as a joint caucus of the House and Senate. President Oscar Arias of Costa Rica and President Jose Napoleon Duarte gave him informal addresses on September 22, 1987, and October 15, 1987, respectively. We did post on the our Facebook, our social media sites, a question about joint meeting, and our question was, and I will answer the question later on in this podcast, and the question was, who was the first head of a church to address a joint meeting of Congress? Pope Francis was not the first, so we will answer that shortly. You can, as I said, you can watch his speech on our website. Just Google Pope Francis. We have a lot of Francis's, Pope Francis's items there for you. We do have a new advertiser or supporter on our Facebook page, and it's the first ever Family Field Fest. And this has to do with where there's a multi-purpose field that is going in South Carlisle. That's down by where Holland Lane and Telegraph Road intersect near the Alexandria Renew Enterprises, or the and what they have done is the Alexandria Renew has expanded facility. They put in a series of tanks, and these are large tanks that have gone into the ground right behind 800 Carlisle, which is over there. And what they have done is built a multi-purpose athletic field over the tanks. And I personally excited to see this. And they have advertised the Family Field Fest on our blog, where you can come and celebrate the opening of Alexandria's new multi-purpose athletic field with a day of music, sustainability, and community at Family Field Fest. And that's in late October. The first ever Family Field Fest will have all sorts of activities for children and adults, including pumpkin carving, face painting, live music, and free demonstrations from local companies with a focus on healthy and sustainable living. The event is free to attend, open to the public, and will be held rain or shine. Alexandria Renew Enterprises can't wait to see you for a full day of fall fun at Family Field Fest. And they do ask that you please leave your furry four-legged friends at home for the event. I can tell you that Bill Cleveland, former city councilman Bill Cleveland, and I worked very hard to get a playground installed there for that. Oh, one thing I wanted to play about Pope Francis was Senator King put out a very nice reaction to the Pope's speech today in the joint session of Congress, which I thought was very well-rounded and a very, very nice speech. But here is what Senator King had to say.
Well, it was a really special occasion, and I love the way the Pope did a couple of things. First, he used the stories of four great Americans to say, you are a great nation and you had great leaders. I want to tell you about Abraham Lincoln, Dr. Martin Luther King, Dorothy Day, and Thomas Merton, and what they represent. And this is who you are as a people, a world that still has huge needs. You have a unique role to do something about it. And that was a message both to the United States, but it was also a particular message to leaders. We're in a world of politics now where, frankly, people have low expectations of us. And Congress members even sometimes have low expectations of each other and what we can get accomplished. So what he was doing was he was saying, but I still have high expectations of him because I can look into the history and culture and see those examples that have been really powerful. There isn't any reason that we can't rise to that same level of achievement today, whether it's tackling climate or economic injustices or migrant crisis that we've seen throughout the world. So I love the way that he set high expectations for us and talked about the lives of these four Americans as exemplary in terms of what we can do.
Thank you, Senator King. That was Senator Tim King from Virginia, who was, for lack of a better pun, was pontificating about his reaction to Pope Francis' speech to a joint meeting of Congress today. Other things going on this week in Alexandria, there is Fall into Giving, which is a five-day online donation drive of goods and items to benefit nonprofit organizations serving Alexandria, which is going all this week, started on Monday, September 21st, and ends tomorrow. So if you haven't donated yet, please consider doing so. And you can do so through a link on our website, redbricktown.com. Click Fall into Giving. And Fall into Giving is hosted by Action Alexandria, the online civic engagement initiative of Act for Alexandria. They have everything from nonprofits that deal with food and shelter, the health, appliances and furniture, clothing, gift cards, household supplies, and more. So go to redbricktown.com and click Fall into Giving. You're listening to the Red Brick Town Radio Podcast, coming to you live from the Inner Harbor here in Baltimore, Maryland, here on Thursday, September 24th. Another item going on in Alexandria, which is this weekend, is the annual Old Town Boutique District 8th Annual Scavenger Hunt, which started today and runs through Sunday, where you can visit all of the Old Town Boutique District stores and get your passport stamped for a chance to win big prizes. The passports were mailed out to residents. You can pick up passports at different stores. And everyone is invited to collect stamps and enter the grand prize drawing, but for the price of a couple lattes, you also get a Snaggy Bagu bag and a chance to collect store goodies. I think I posted one or two of them on our feed. You can go to Instagram.com/RedBrickTown and see a couple of them there. And go to OldTownBoutiqueDistrict.com for more information on the scavenger hunt. That's OldTownBoutiqueDistrict.com. I did post also today that just like in summer, we are looking for fall interns in Alexandria. We're looking for a social media intern as well as a blogging intern to help us out with Red Brick Town. The social media intern will be working behind the scenes with me to expand our online through social media, which is reaching about 1 million, you know, the guy from, I think it was Austin Powers, you know, Dr. Evil, you know, 1 million. So we are working on expanding that. And if you don't know what social media reach is, Twitter is basically when you have your Twitter, Pinterest, and LinkedIn followers, total likes on your Facebook page, etc. If your boards, like for example, if your Pinterest boards have 1,000 followers on Pinterest, then each of your pins could potentially reach 1,000 people. If you like something or if you retweet something, it goes out to your followers and your feed. If you like something on Facebook, it goes out to your followers on Facebook. So our reach, last week's reach was a little over 910,000 people. You heard me. That's 910,000 people. And so our social media intern would help with that. And it's a good for, you know, like a T.C. Williams person or a... you know, like a college person who needs a, you know, school credit for that. You know, I like to think I'm a fun type of guy to work with. We're also looking for a blogging intern, somebody to help me with the events calendars. We have one of the best event calendars going. One second. Okay, and blogging intern to help me with the events calendar. And be looking, working to create some new features for the bloggers. We're always looking to create new things on that. So look for, if you're interested or know somebody who could possibly be interested or can give me some ideas on who to contact about being an intern, because as a one-man operation, this is... a big job, let's just say. Okay, right now we're going to bring in Glenn Kloss. He has a write-in Twitter handle. Glenn, how are you doing tonight?
Good, how are you?
Not bad. Thank you for coming on the program this week. Hopefully it's gotten a little bit better. It's gotten a little better, bit better each week since I think you were on the first episode, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, and so we're glad to have you back talking about Mayor Yule.
Right.
Now, for those who might not know, if you listen to this on demand, Mayor Yule is seeking to debate Vice Mayor Allison Silverberg, who won the mayoral race in June. Vice Mayor Silverberg is so far refusing to debate Mayor Yule with about a month to go before the election. Now, hold on here a second. I'll read a really great story from my good friend Patricia Sullivan at the Washington Post, which we were the first to post about yesterday. And it's called Alexandria Mayoral Candidates Might Not Debate. And I'm not sure if Glenn caught this or our readers and listeners caught this, but one of our followers caught the Washington Post in a grammatical error where they had Bill Yule listed as a write-in, that's R-I-G-H-T, candidate, instead of a write-in candidate, W-R-I-T-E. You can see the screenshot on our website, redbricktown.com. So Patricia writes, this is a story dated September 23rd. She says, Alexandria's former mayor, William D. Yule, shows up for nearly every parade, ribbon-cutting, festival, and civic celebration in the city. He has been doing a regular video webcast on the city site since 2008, which I personally think is terrific. 2 weeks ago, he greeted the 5 millionth rider on the King Street trolley. But Yule, who's a Democrat, a native son, and proud graduate of T.C. Williams High School, can't seem to get on the stage for a political debate since he lost the Democratic primary in June to Vice Mayor Silverberg. His supporters, convinced that the loss was a fluke, implored the lifelong Democrat to run a write-in campaign, and he did just that this summer, where his announcement, and we are the only ones to provide you with the audio of that announcement. You can view it on, we have a YouTube video, and we also have the audio on our podcast. On our podcast page, you can listen to it there. But with 40 days to go for the November 3rd general election, it's unclear whether the city mayor will have a chance to make another formal plea to voters. Eric Williams, Bill Yule's campaign manager, said, "We plan to challenge Ms. Silverberg. We feel the voters have a right to hear them head to head." But Silverberg, who bested Yule and former Mayor Carrie Donnelly by a narrow margin in the June primary, said she will not debate a writing candidate this fall. Despite a torn tendon that has had her on crutches for the past few weeks, Ms. Silverberg has been holding weekly open-door coffees, attending local events, and she plans to hold house parties next week. Her campaign signs are everywhere. Ms. Silverberg said, quote, "I will not be debating any write-in candidate, and the Alexandria Democratic Committee agrees with me," Silverberg said in a phone interview. "There are 150,000 residents in Alexandria, and any one of them could say, I'm a write-in. That's my policy, and to me it makes sense," unquote. Donnelly, who endorsed Yule after his primary loss, said that the debates are important, but so is direct mail. Quote, "The voters don't pay attention until 30 days out anyway," said Donnelly, who, despite his most recent loss, has run successful council and mayoral campaigns. "A write-in campaign is always difficult, but the secret to this one is going to be a lot of retail politicking, knocking on doors, shaking hands, getting the word out." On street medians, now cluttered with signs for Silverberg and the 11 city council candidates, Yule has few, if any, posted. Given the unusual spelling of his name, pronounced U-L, it would seem that a key tactic would be to educate voters how to write it in on the ballot. Donnelly is about 30 residents who are members of a recently revived political action committee called Securing Alexandria's Future that endorsed Yule and 6 Democrats running for city council. And you can see that really press release on our website. 4 Republicans and an independent are also on the ballot. PAC includes former council members Monty Rich, auto dealer Jack Taylor, real estate agent Gina Baum, and Glenn Kloss, who registered the Twitter handle Write In Yule. Yule's campaign fund, still robust from his primary race, held $28,000 as of August 31st. He has raised $4,500 since July 1, and Silverberg had $4,585 on August 31st and has raised $2,324 over the summer. Silverberg said more donations have come in this month, but those won't be public until campaign finance reports come out October 15th. So, Glenn, my question to you is, why should Ms. Silverberg agree to debate Mayor Ewell?
Well, I think a couple reasons. The first one that came to my mind when I saw her unwise response to the debate idea was that during the primary debate, she had promised repeatedly for more openness and transparency in the government. And for her to refuse to debate, you know, a sitting mayor, you know, someone who served the city for decades, and who has clearly a separate vision than hers, I think it just goes against the letter, if not the spirit, of her essentially a campaign promise. And the other thing I think is that I don't know if voters know her. I think they, you know her in Old Town, you know, where her core constituency is, but she only won what's going to turn out to be 4% or less of the overall vote back in June. And we know that a lot of voters in Alexandria reflexively vote Democratic, and she's the only candidate on the ballot. You know, I think it's highly likely that she'll win. And her path to that victory is through 4% of the voters, essentially. And I think her supporters should be concerned about a legitimacy issue that voters simply don't know her. Alexandrians don't know who she is. They don't know where she stands. And during the primary, she was not really challenged on a lot of her positions that were contradictions with themselves. So I think, you know, she owes the city, the citizens, the voters, she owes them more information about herself, which can come out through these debates.
Explain to me and explain to our listeners and readers what she has contradicted herself on.
Sure. Well, she talks about one of the sort of more egregious things. There's a couple of things that really stood out to me. She has argued for a better balance in revenues, you know, between residential and commercial. And yet, at the same time, she opposes commercial development down on the waterfront. So to me, it doesn't make any sense. How can you ask for more commercial taxes and then, you know, say, I don't want businesses on the waterfront. I don't want any revenue from the additional tourists that'll bring. Additionally, she's also spoken about more affordable housing and workforce housing, but she repeatedly has advocated for developments where she cited, for instance, Park Fairfax. That was her development model, you know, which is something that's impossible to replicate these days unless if you're going to start developing city parks. But her rationale was you've got more open space, and yes, it would create fewer homes, but people wouldn't be willing to pay more for them. And she said something very similar regarding the Potomac Yard development, where she advocated for a great lawn within the middle of the development and said the same thing. Yeah, people might want to pay more for that. So it seems like she's advocating for higher home prices, which would, you know, by definition, squeeze out lower-income people from the city. So I don't think she can have it both ways on that. And finally, I think on the debt, you know, she harps on the debt. And this may not be a contradiction, but she hasn't been challenged on how she would fix the debt. It seems like she does agree with a number of the projects that have gone to raising the debt, for instance, the sewer system and building of schools. But how is she going to solve that? And how is she going to lower the debt while she's discouraging commercial development? I mean, these are things that she was never challenged on in the primary, and now that she is, you know, very close to becoming the mayor, I think Alexandrians have a right to hear her explanations.
Well, can't the argument be made that she's only one person? That, I mean, it's not going to be Alison Silverberg ruling by fiat, so she'd have to work with the other six members of city council, whoever that is.
Right. Yeah, and that's another issue. I mean, I think she, you know, she's been the author of a lot of 6-to-1 votes. And even if I was a supporter of hers, I'd be kind of wary, because if she's not getting support within the council, and, you know, if voters do reflexively vote Democrat and she's dealing with five of the six members she voted against repeatedly last time, last session in council, then I would want to know how is she going to build a coalition so that, you know, her constituents' views will get across.
Right, but so let's put on the flip side. How do you, as a voter, and maybe as a member of Security Alexandria's future, see Bill Yule acting different? Because the argument can be made that the tax base difference, you know, not being 50-50, but extending out now to 70-30, could partially go on the back of Bill Yule. So what does Bill Yule do differently that he has not done in the past?
I'm sorry, what's the last part?
So what do you think Bill Yule should do differently that she's advocating or she's not advocating that Bill Yule hasn't done in the past to get the tax base back to more of an even split?
Well, that's what he's working on right now. I mean, something projects like the waterfront development are exactly the answer. I don't think they're proposing residential units. It's all commercial development. So you're going to get hotel taxes, you're going to get more people in the city to, you know, who are using the restaurants and other businesses down in Old Town. So I think that's the right path forward. But quite frankly, I mean, the question you ask is one best answered in a debate that the mayor could answer.
And I have spoken to Mayor Yule, and I think that he's going to be sending a letter to out to the campaign to see about, you know, formally asking about a debate in that format.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
The other thing I wanted to ask you was that we had our weekly poll, which has been very popular on redbrickpan.com, and we asked our readers what election issue during 2015 matters to you most in Alexandria, Virginia. And the majority of them, 34.67%, said development, followed by schools. And then there was affordable housing written in. Somebody wrote in, development will be stopped under Silverberg. Continuation of proper development. As you're saying, proper development is more suited to Mayor Yule rather than Vice Mayor Silverberg.
Yes, I would agree with that.
In Patricia's article, rather than debating, because this is an off-year election, this is just my personal opinion, given that only 13% of the electorate, which the electoral board identified as being a higher number than they anticipated, voted, and this is an off year in November, as Patricia Sullivan noted in her article, doesn't getting out and educating the public weigh more on the Yule campaign rather than debates?
Well, I believe there's
educating them. I'm sorry, educating them.
Debates are
educating them. I mean, educating them on how to spell his name.
People will get plenty of advice how to spell his name. I think people know the mayor already. You know, at least they know phonetically how his name is spelled. And if the campaign does the right thing and helps people with sample ballots, that sort of thing, the name issue, I don't think it is going to be an issue. I think it's really a stark competition between two visions, between Mayor Yule and Vice Mayor Silverberg. And I think that's what people really need to know. I mean, the name issue is nearly irrelevant.
So my last question to you would be, do you think Mayor Yule, if Mayor Yule was in the position Vice Mayor Silverberg was in, do you think Mayor Yule would do a debate or would he not debate a write-in candidate?
Well, you know, that's a better question asked to Mayor Yule, but having knowing the kind of person he is, I mean, he is one for inclusion and building coalitions and listening, despite what the vice mayor says. So, you know, I think he would entertain such a thing. But, yeah, I think it's a better question that he could answer.
Isn't like building coalitions like with people of the other party? So as a voter, is there anybody outside of those who endorsed Security Alexandria's future that has impressed you in this election season?
Well, you know, I think Monique Miles has been a very energetic campaigner. She seemed to say a lot of the right things, but when she came out against the Potomac Yard Metro Rail, I was kind of baffled by it. But, you know, she's got the right spirit, just the wrong positions.
Well, outstanding. Glenn, well, I certainly appreciate you coming on line with us tonight to speak about this. And I'm sure it will be a issue in the coming weeks. Now, have you or anybody else started sending the vice mayor maybe an email? Because, I mean, it seems to me in the town in which we live, nothing gets done unless a lot of people, for lack of a better term, B-I-T-C-H about it. So have you or any of your friends or people sent Mayor, Vice Mayor Silverberg an email about the lack of debates?
You know, I have not. It occurred to me yesterday to do so, but I have not gotten to it. She is still the vice mayor, an elected official, and accountable. So I think it's a great idea, and I urge everybody who listens to do so.
Okay, and where can our listeners go and find out more about you? That's it. What's your Twitter handle again?
Yep, Twitter is at WriteInYule, so it's WriteIn_Yule, EUILLE. And if you want to email me, you can get me at, again, write.in.mayor.yule@gmail.com.
And listeners, you can, if you ever want to speak out about a subject like this, you can send me an email at redbricktown.com and just click the contact me link, and we'll slap up your email up on the website. So our website's all about furthering the discussion in town. Glenn, thank you very much for joining us.
Great. Thank you so much, Lee. Take care.
Hey, yeah. Have a great night. That was Glenn Kloss, ladies and gentlemen, from the Yule Twitter handle. It's write_in_Yule, EUILLE. That's going to be a very important thing to know. I believe we posted an article from Michael E. Pope on WAMU about the write-in Yule, how the electoral board will be meeting after the election to determine what they will consider as a write-in term for Mayor Yule. So, as I said with Glenn, more to come on that. But now, a few minutes on the Redskins who are playing tonight. I'm sitting here in the Inner Harbor looking at TV. The game's getting ready to start in about an hour. The Redskins are taking on the New York Giants this evening in New York, where Pope Francis left for earlier today. The kickoff time is about 8:30, so hopefully I will get in there, get back to D.C. A little bit before then. I've been very impressed with the Redskins this year. Seems a big change from previous years. It just seems like there's more positivity. I love the physicality of the team so far. I love the discipline we've had on defense. I like the fact that our front four for the Washington Redskins has been able to get a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and that leaves the other seven defenders, you know, able to cover their person and, you know, leave them to their assignment rather than help out and try to blitz the quarterback. So I love our defense this year so far, which is number one in a lot of categories so far. The Giants are very desperate tonight. They're 0-2. They need a victory here. So it's gonna, I think it's going to be a great game to watch on offense. I love our running game so far, which I believe is one of the times, one of the top one or top two rushing attacks in the league so far. I love this kid, Matt Jones, who I picked up in some of my fantasy leagues, including DraftKings.com. So I love this kid. He's got a great velocity, violence at the point of attack, great velocity in his steps. It's going to be exciting to watch the game tonight. On Kirk Cousins, I like to see Kirk do a little more than he's been doing. I thought he played very well last week against the Rams, their ferocious pass rush. So I think hopefully we'll come out victorious tonight and get to 2-1. I'd rather be 2-1 than 1-2. We've got the Eagles in about 10 days, and that's always a tough game. The Eagles right now are pathetic, and the Cowboys have lost Tony Romo and Dez Bryant, so it's a great chance for the Redskins in the NFC least division to at least have a good chance at placing high or winning the division this year. So hopefully we have a good game tonight. Kickoff is about 8:30, I believe. Lastly, tonight, let's talk about this week's poll. Again, with all the Pope Francis stuff going on, I'm a little behind on some things on the website. And as I noted, there has been some back and forth between the candidates on stealing signs. So this week's poll states, with candidates squabbling over the theft of and damage to political campaign yard signs around Alexandria, Virginia, I thought I'd post this question to our beloved readers. Do political yard signs influence your vote in Alexandria, Virginia? I posted the poll because longtime residents may remember that during the 2009 campaign, Delegate David Englund made a pledge to only place campaign signs in the yards and windows of supporters and not litter them throughout our community along public rights of way and other public spaces. And Delegate Englund ended up winning the campaign at the time. And right now, about 86% of our readers with votes say that political campaign signs don't influence their vote. So go and vote on our poll at redbricktown.com. You can search poll or look for it in the right-hand side of the screen. Well, tonight I thank Glenn Kloss for coming on the program and spending a few minutes with us. And listeners, please make sure you go online. If you're not following us on Twitter or Facebook so far, go online to twitter.com/redbricktown or on Facebook at facebook.com/redbricktown. And we have an awesome Instagram following at instagram.com/redbricktown. So follow us on there. We certainly appreciate all you guys. Thanks for following. Thanks for reading. And most importantly, thanks for listening tonight. This has been the Red Brick Town Radio Podcast.
Join the discussion and subscribe to our daily updates on our website, redbricktown.com. Until next time.